Are you celebrating Thanksgivica this year? It's a rare meeting of Thanksgiving and the first day of Hanukkah. If so, we'd love to hear from you. What are you doing for Thanksgivica? Anything special? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 28th. We will welcome your questions about the origins and history of both celebrations, and we hope you will share your traditions that you are planning today, whether you're celebrating one, the other, or both. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kenneth C. Davis, popular historian, best known for his Don't Know Much About book series. He has been dubbed the King of Knowing by Amazon.com, and he has also written extensively about religion in America. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving, or Thanksgivica.
Good morning, Joy. I hope there was a little curtsy in there as you introduced the king, but we'll leave that.
I hadn't heard that. You have done a lot of history books. What's your latest?
Well, the latest is Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, which is actually kind of appropriate to the moment because there's some presidential history connected with Thanksgiving. And it basically is a history of the presidency itself, how we got this position 225-odd years ago at the secret meetings known as the Constitutional Convention, and then one by one through each of the presidents, giving them a grade from A-plus down to F with a few incompletes in there.
Well, we might have to have you back for President's Day and talk about that a little bit. But you started out this series with a Don't Know Much About History book, and that was so popular that it turned into Don't Know Much About just about everything.
Well, it was certainly not a series when I wrote that. Sat down to write the first one, oh my goodness, 25 years ago. I hate to even say that, but the book was published then in 1990. Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned. And the idea was simple. I loved American history. I was fascinated with it from the time I was a kid, and I couldn't understand why people were so-called bored by history and why we did so badly at it. And as I looked at the books, I read the problem was clear. It was boring. It was dates and battles and speeches. So I tried to bring some humor and humanity to the story and talk about real people doing real things and not just the dates and battles and speeches that we are forced to learn in school sometimes. Then I went from there to geography and the Bible and mythology and all the subjects that fascinate me. And most interesting, I think, the way they are connected. And I think today's a good example of connecting religion to our history because they are very tightly connected.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about this special day and that Thanksgiving and the first day of Hanukkah fall on the same day. Can you talk a little bit about how rare this is?
Well, the last time there's been a debate about these things that I would say reaches Talmudic dimensions as people debate when this actually happened. But the last time it happened apparently is 1888, and the reason for that is simple but complicated. Both holidays, of course, are movable feasts. Thanksgiving moves around on our calendar, and the day designated as Thanksgiving has been moving around since Abraham Lincoln first established a national Thanksgiving Day 150 years ago in October 1863. He didn't have much to be thankful for at the time, but we can get back to that. Mm-hmm. Hanukkah, of course, is also a movable feast in that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar as opposed to our American widely used solar calendar. So the Hanukkah festival also moves around the calendar. Now, I'm told that this did happen last in 1888, but it won't happen for something like another 79,000 years.
Isn't that amazing?
It is quite astonishing. And for your listeners who aren't clear about what Hanukkah is, it's a celebration of the Jewish holiday of the revolt of the Maccabees in Jerusalem against a Grecian-Syrian empire. And we're talking about in the time of about the second century before Christ. And this means the tradition of the lights comes from the fact that there was a miraculous occurrence in which there wasn't enough candle for the lights of the unique candle in the temple in Jerusalem. And then because of a miraculous intervention, the candles were lighted for the whole of the nights that this was taking place. This then became a kind of national holiday for early Israel, and very much a day of Thanksgiving. So it's not at all inappropriate that the two do coincide. We usually think of Hanukkah and the festival as lights as a little bit more attached to the Christmas tradition, and Hanukkah generally tends to fall much later in the in our calendar than it does this year, as Thanksgiving is also, as I'm sure you've been hearing, that the Christmas season is short this year because Thanksgiving falls so late. So we have a very curious and unusual coincidence of two calendar events.
I saw at least a photograph of a turkey menorah. So is that how might you combine the two celebrations?
Well, I think that certainly many people will combine them because obviously American Jews, and of course this is only a holiday in America because most places around the world where Jews live, they don't celebrate American Thanksgiving as we do. Let me just talk a little bit about the roots of Thanksgiving, because that's also a very, very misunderstood, or I should say mythologized, holiday. The first pilgrims, of course, arrived. The pilgrims arrived in December of 1621 on the Mayflower, about 100 people on the boat. About half of them were actually pilgrims. About half died during the first year. So in October of 1621, the survivors were mostly grateful just to be alive. Now, to a pilgrim, a person who was a member of a very small sect of Protestants in England, a day of Thanksgiving would have meant a day of prayer and fasting, not exactly what most of us have in mind for the rest of the day. What they did in October of 1621 was celebrate the bringing in the harvest, and the fact that they had survived was what they were mostly grateful for. So they did plan a harvest feast. They wouldn't have called it Thanksgiving, and that this was going to be a three-day affair is part of the we think we eat for a long time today. Then about 90 Wampanoag Native Americans showed up, uninvited guests, but very good ones. They went out and brought back in five deer, so there was fresh venison. There was a lot of seafood. After all, these people were camped on the shores of the bay, and there was salmon and cod and mussels and lobster and clams, as well as venison, deer, geese, ducks, and turkey, but wild turkey. And they did celebrate for 3 days, so it's a pretty pretty festive occasion. And we know about this primarily through the writings of William Bradford, one of the first governors of the Plymouth colony. The holiday was not celebrated traditionally for a long, long time. It was only gradually, it started in New England, and it was also a day that moved around quite a bit. But as New Englanders moved around the country, they started to take this idea of a Founders Day, which is more or less how they thought of it. And so when George Washington declares a day of Thanksgiving in 1789, or at least asks Congress for it, It has nothing to do with the Pilgrims. He's really saying a day of thanksgiving because the nation was being born and thanking the Almighty for the Constitution. It really interesting to read the congressional debate about that proclamation. First of all, there were people who thought the president has no right to declare a national holiday. That's a state's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the argument that went back. Then there were people who said, well, we shouldn't be thankful for the Constitution yet. We don't know if we like it. So it was really interesting that such a benign thought actually stimulated a fairly rigorous congressional debate. In 1863, then, finally, after many states had declared their own Founders Day or Thanksgiving Days, Lincoln declares a day of thanksgiving in October of 1863, his first proclamation. And it was really the first in an unbroken series, so that's why we consider Lincoln's the first, even though Washington. And again, it doesn't really refer to pilgrims or the Mayflower or any of that. It's really a day of a much more solemn day, and Lincoln didn't have too much to be grateful for in the fall of 1863. It was a period in time when things were pretty terrible in the country, and Lincoln certainly didn't even think he would be reelected the following year.
Let's take a short pause and remind listeners that we are talking about the historical roots of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. And talking some about the rare combination that we are celebrating this year. Many people are celebrating Thanksgivica, when the first day of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving fall on the same day. But we welcome your questions, your traditions for either celebration. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How are you celebrating Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, or both? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Thanksgivica if you are celebrating both holidays. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 28th. And we are talking about the history and traditions of both celebrations. And our guest historian is here to answer your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Kenneth Davis is known for his Don't Know Much About book series, and he is here to talk with us about Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and how these two are on the same day, a rare occurrence. It has happened only once since 1863, when Thanksgiving was proclaimed a federal holiday by President Abraham Lincoln, and it won't happen again for another 70,000 years. And Ken is telling us why that is. So tell us a little bit more, though, Ken, why President Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a federal holiday.
I will do that. And for just to be clear, he did not actually make it a federal holiday. That didn't happen till much later. Okay. This was actually a proclamation, which presidents make proclamations all the time, and this was one of many proclamations Lincoln issued. In fact, earlier in 1863, he issued a fairly famous one called the Emancipation Proclamation.
All right.
But this is really a statement by the president, and it's presumed that Lincoln did not actually write the Thanksgiving Proclamation itself. But a little background, there was a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale. She was a magazine editor for something called Lady Godey's book, which was sort of the Good Housekeeping of its day. And a very prominent, I suppose you could call her the Martha Stewart of the 19th century. She had been pressing for a national holiday of Thanksgiving for a fixed what she called Union Festival. She believed that this had been something that was happening around the states, and she thought that the whole nation would be doing. She had kept this up for about 30 years in the pages of her magazine, and Lincoln finally relents and issues in October, the third day of October in 1863, this proclamation, which made the last Thursday in November a day of thanksgiving and praise, and he wanted it to be a day that we thank the Almighty for the deliverances and blessings, but also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. We leave that part out, it
wow.
seems to me, at Thanksgiving. Yeah, no, this was fairly biblical, and it was believed that this was written by William Seward, the Secretary of State at the time, who was quite a devout and evangelical Protestant. So the history then of the national holiday really doesn't come about, even though it was widely celebrated and the last Thursday in November became more accepted as a day of Thanksgiving. It's really not until the 1930s that the date becomes fixed as a true national holiday under Franklin D. Roosevelt. And Roosevelt had fixed it on the last Thursday. Then retailers during the Depression came to him and said, we need the Christmas season to last longer. I mean, it's been around a long time, this notion of the Christmas shopping season. So Roosevelt had it moved up to the third Thursday in November, and Congress was not happy with that, and so they moved it back to the fourth Thursday in November, where it is now. Now, this year it happens that the fourth Thursday is also the last Thursday. That's why this is a very complicated story of mixing Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, because Lincoln's last Thursday didn't match up with Hanukkah for a very long time, and then we changed it to the third Thursday and then to the fourth Thursday. So it's been a very movable holiday. I also want to just briefly comment on Hanukkah, because many people don't know where the idea comes from, because they say, well, it's not in the Bible. And for most American Protestants, that's true. The story of Hanukkah does not exist in the Old Testament. It is related in some biblical books that did not make the final cut, essentially. Of course, the Bible was put together over many centuries by people who decided that some books were canonical, that they were inspired and they should be. And this story is in two books called the Maccabees that are not part of the Hebrew or what Christians would call the Old Testament. They fall into the section known typically to most Protestants as the Apocrypha, the books between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that's why this is, to many Christians, an extra-biblical story. Although in Catholic Bibles, you will find the Maccabees as part of the canon. This is why I wrote a book called Don't Know Much About the Bible, because when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about something that means something different to a lot of different people.
Sure is complicated.
It is complicated.
Yeah, let's get in a call before our news break. Ray in Rhinelander is with us. Hello, Ray.
Hi. I think this is once again another wonderful talk show. I really like it this week because we're talking about a variety of different traditions with Thanksgiving. What's really nice about Thanksgiving and what I'm seeing, especially with the atmosphere around where we live, and other people that I know that live in other cities, is Thanksgiving is bringing all kinds of cultures together to be thankful. We have all kinds of cultures, obviously, in America now, and there has been clashes with different things going on. But recently with Thanksgiving, you know, more and more people are getting together with their cultures, sharing different foods. You had this wonderful program on, I think, yesterday, day before, about people from different cultures talking about the foods they make on Thanksgiving, and it's just wonderful because I think Thanksgiving is one holiday where it isn't too controversial. Everybody gets together and is thankful, and they share their culture and their food and their traditions, And it's just an amazing time of the year. So I think it's one of the best holidays because it helps to bridge the gap with everybody, and everybody seems to be happy, at least for a while.
Ray, thank you so much. We have just a minute or so, Ken, before the news, and maybe we should talk about how Thanksgiving, does Thanksgiving bring cultures together?
Well, I think in the sense that it is this uniquely American tradition of a nation of immigrants in that sense, it does. And the idea of the traditional Thanksgiving meal is certainly a very much an English American, Anglo-American meal. But people, I think, do recognize that this celebrates people coming to America. Some of them for religious freedom. That's a more complicated story, of course. I would throw the monkey wrench in here and just say there is one group that does not celebrate Thanksgiving, by the way. And they're usually up at Plymouth or Salem this time of year. And that's the Native Americans, who feel like this is the holiday that celebrates their having lost everything. And so there usually is a protest, an anti-Thanksgiving protest by descendants of the Wampanoag. In Massachusetts around Thanksgiving.
Let me hold you there. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about the history and the traditions of Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and today, Thanksgivica. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Put on your yarmulke. Here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate.
Oh, happy Hanukkah, and happy Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgivica. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's right. Not only is today Thanksgiving and the first day of Hanukkah, some are calling this rare meeting of the two celebrations Thanksgivica. We are talking about the history and the traditions of both celebrations this hour, and our guest historian is answering your questions or responding to your traditions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37. On this Thursday, November 28th, our guest is Kenneth C. Davis, a popular historian best known for his Don't Know Much About Books series, dubbed the King of Knowing by Amazon.com, and he's also written extensively about religions in America. He wrote a book on Don't Know Much About the Bible, wrote a book on Don't Know Much About the Presidents, Don't Know Much About just about everything. So we are talking with him about this about both celebrations. And we'd love to hear from you if you are celebrating both. Find out what you're doing to combine the two. And Ken, before we move on, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the myths of Thanksgiving. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the traditions of Thanksgiving, including the turkey pardon. I would think that you know about that since you've done so much on presidents. But I wanted to ask you first. I mean, that I just played that silly song by Adam Sandler. And I think he said he wrote that song because there are no songs about Hanukkah.
Well, I can't speak to that. I don't. It's certainly the first song that comes into my mind,
right,
when Hanukkah rolls around. But I think that the dreidel song would be.
Sure. That is too.
That pops into my.
What is the? Tell us a little bit about.
There's a song about latkes that's very popular. That's a traditional Thanksgiving food. I'm sure that there are many, and I'm also sure now we're going to get a dozen calls about all the great Hanukkah songs we've missed. But there you go. I just want to add one more point, because when we talk about Thanksgiving traditions, and the earlier caller talked about groups coming here, the Macy's Day Parade, perfect example of merging of traditions. When the Macy's Day Parade first started, it was largely because a great many of Macy's employees at the time, and we're talking about the early 1920s, were recently arrived European immigrants. And the tradition for many of those people had been a fall time parade through their towns in Europe. And this was related to harvest and the coming of the holiday season. And so this was actually, the Macy's Day Parade was really a merger of a lot of European traditions with this uniquely American holiday of Thanksgiving, celebrating the pilgrims. And, of course, Macy's added the perfect touch by putting Santa Claus at the end of the parade. So it then officially ushered in the Christmas holiday season. Of course, we've gone way past that notion. Now we're seeing the Christmas decorations go up as the Halloween candy is being thrown away. So it's that tradition is long gone. But it was this merging of an ancient European tradition of the harvest festival parade through the town, which had religious significance, probably went back to pagan times as a harvest festival, with the American Thanksgiving.
Do you know which president started this turkey pardon? I'm looking at this a piece in the Washington Post where the writer was saying the turkey pardon is America's dumbest tradition.
it's fairly recent. I believe that the first one to do it informally was Reagan, although President Carter may have done so as well. And this grew out of a tradition that's, I think, started in the Eisenhower years with turkey growers presenting the president with a Thanksgiving turkey. And then as that went on, it was then became this now kind of kabuki drama of pardoning one, and that always makes me feel bad for the one that didn't get pardoned.
Right.
I don't know. That's what I always think about. So one gets away, but that doesn't mean no turkey. You know, that doesn't mean tofu turkey at the White House this year.
That's right. Yeah. There was a vote even going on this year where you could vote for caramel or popcorn to be pardoned, and I thought, what are they going to do? You know, bring the other one to the, you know, the butcher shop, and no, they both get pardoned, but one gets the official title, is what it was.
Yeah, there was also a discussion of, you know, how does the president even have, you know, such authority? And of course, that is in the Constitution. The power to pardon is part of the presidential executive power outlined in the Constitution. So that's where that comes from.
Now, and the turkey, though, was not on the table of the first Thanksgiving, was it?
Well, if we're talking about the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving, they would have had wild turkey, the animal, not the beverage usually consumed in a plain brown wrapper. But the wild turkey, as you know, if you've seen them, is a little bit scrawnier and probably gamier than the tom turkey we're all accustomed
right.
to.
Right, I that's what I assumed. But then when I heard you say that five deer were served, that I thought maybe that was the first Thanksgiving.
Well, the venison was certainly on the menu. So if you wanted to have the true original Thanksgiving, you'd have some venison. And as I mentioned, a good deal of seafood, which I don't know if that I know some people throw some oysters in the stuffing or something like that. But those first pilgrims truly had a feast that included a substantial amount of seafood.
Michael in Richland Center is with us. Hello, Michael.
Yes, hi. I just had a different thought on the, you know, Thanksgiving, because of some of the things I've learned through history, that these guys, the pilgrims or Puritans, whatever you want to call them, came over and they were celebrating Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles as a part of their what they believed and come to believe through Scripture. And then everything got moved from there because they were celebrating sometime in October, and then they moved it all to November. And then I was just going to bring up with Hanukkah, it is in this, in the Scriptures, if you will, in the newer writings. I don't like to call them Old New Testament because there's no such thing, but it's the newer writings where Yeshua went up to the temple at the Feast of Dedication. But the only thing that we don't see with Hanukkah is the tradition of the quote-unquote 8 days of the lights, and whether it happened or not, it's not really been recorded. It's just a tradition. The thing is, it is a time of rededication, and it's a looking forward of the end of time too. But are we going to rededicate our lives? And that's what the whole tradition is, or the whole thing is about, is dedicating ourselves to the King of Kings. But that's my comment.
All right, Ken.
I will just, my understanding is that certainly the ancient Jewish historian Josephus, who also does reference, he was a Jewish writer who adopted a Roman style, he refers to the story of the Maccabees and how the victorious Judas Maccabeus ordered an 8-day festival that rededicated the temple in Jerusalem after it had been after this victory. So that's where the 8-day festival is recorded in a roughly contemporary story of the time. But it is certainly a holiday then that celebrates gratitude and thanks, and certainly, in a sense, nation building in the sense of dedication. So I think that's what the kind of nice symmetry between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah are. If we, you know, go back to thinking about what Washington and then later Lincoln, I have a Washington's proclamation, in fact, in front of me, and he said it should be a day of prayer to be grateful, but also to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue and the increase of science. And that's kind of interesting, I guess, because sometimes in modern America, those two things seem to be at odds.
We are talking about Thanksgivica, and we're talking about the celebrations of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving falling on the same day this year, first time in a long time, and the last time in a very long time. This won't happen again, where the first day of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving coincide for another 70,000-plus years. We are talking with Ken Davis. He is the author of the Don't Know Much About book series, and we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your traditions, your celebrations. Are you celebrating both Thanksgiving and Hanukkah today? Do you see commonalities between the two holidays? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 10 minutes before 8 on this Thursday, November 28th. Happy Thanksgiving and happy first day of Hanukkah. We have an open line for you if you would just like to share your questions about the origins, the traditions of Thanksgiving, or the origins and traditions of Hanukkah. I'm not getting too many takers when I'm asking if you are celebrating both. I'd love to know how you are celebrating both, if you are hosting a Thanksgivica celebration. But we're talking about each celebration separately as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Any questions you might have about the history of either celebration, or share a tradition. What are you planning on doing today? What's one of your traditions in celebrating Thanksgiving or Hanukkah? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Ken Davis, who is the author of the Don't Know Much About book series. Francisco emails, I celebrate Thanksgiving as a day of solidarity and kindness. I believe that if it had not been for the kindness and generosity of Native Americans First Nation, who gave a hand to the first people from Europe and came to America as settlers, we would not be here today. Granted, Native Americans were not appreciated. On the contrary, their communities were destroyed. Nevertheless, it is because of their generosity that we are here today. A comment on that, Ken?
I think it's a very appropriate note, and I had alluded to it earlier when I didn't mean to be glib when I was saying it, that there were people who did not celebrate this, and they were the descendants of those uninvited guests at the so-called First Thanksgiving, the people led by Massasoit, the Wampanoag, and the story of the relations between the pilgrims who arrived and were absolutely, their lives were saved by the intervention of some of those Indians. There's no question about it. And they were there at that first feast. By the way, I'm a historian, I like primary sources. I alluded to William Bradford earlier, and he actually, this is where we get it. All the summer there was no want, and now began to come in store of fowl, as winter approached, of which this place did abound. And besides waterfowl, there was a great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, besides venison, etc. That's his description of what we call the first Thanksgiving. So there it is in the primary source document. But more to the point, then continuing on that theme of Native Americans, what many Americans, we have the picture of them all sitting down to that first Thanksgiving, and kids make their turkeys, and we have a little tableau where they all sit together. But very shortly thereafter, those people were at war with each other. The son of the chief, Massasoit, went to war with the Anglo-American settlers who came over in enormous waves, and it was one of the first real wars fought in America, what would become the United States of America. It was called King Philip's War. It was bloody. It was brutal. It was touch and go for the Anglo-Americans, and ended up with King Philip, as he was known, the son of Massasoit, ended up with his head on a pike at the end of it, and his wife and child were sold into slavery in the West Indies. So that's the dark side of the American history tableau that we often don't talk about with Thanksgiving, but it's the hidden history. It's what we need to know.
You wrote an article in the Huffington Post where you bust some popular Thanksgiving myths. You've shared some there, but any others?
Well, let's see. I think that the first one I love to talk about is the idea that the Mayflower Pilgrims were the first pilgrims. They were 50 years late. The first pilgrims were actually French. They landed in Florida. They were French Huguenots. These were Protestants who were escaping the religious wars in France. They came in the 1560s. They had the good sense to go to Florida in June instead of Massachusetts in December, and they were there for about a year. When the Spanish king learned about their presence, he sent over a fleet and essentially wiped them out. So the real first pilgrims in America, the people who came for their religious freedom, were killed in Florida in a religious bloodbath. They weren't killed because they were French. They were killed because they were Protestant. And I think it's important, as we talk about this history of religion in America and its importance and its place, that the first real encounter between Europeans in the future United States of America ends in a religious bloodbath. And what story is more important for our times?
Wow, yeah. So what is the, we touched on it in the very beginning, but the spiritual significance of Hanukkah and Thanksgiving being on the same day?
I think if we talk about it in purely spiritual, we can go back on the Thanksgiving side to Washington and Lincoln both saying that this is a day that we should be thankful for all the bounties that we have, the tremendous wealth of both in practical terms and in political terms, the freedoms that we enjoy. Those were the things that both Washington and Lincoln were celebrating when they made their Thanksgiving proclamations, which again had nothing to do with the Mayflower Pilgrims. Hanukkah is also a day of gratitude for a miraculous, in a sense, intervention that allows the nation and the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem, the holy place, holiest place in Israel. So that I think it, you know, without oversimplifying it, this is a celebration. Hanukkah is a celebration of miraculous intervention and the continuation of the nation. And I think that you can reduce Thanksgiving to that in some respects as well.
Do you think that we might see an overlap in rituals as well for those who are celebrating both?
I don't think that most people will be lighting, you know, 8 candles for the rest of the week, as Jews will. Of course, the lighting began last night because even though we say today is the first day of Hanukkah, it actually started at sundown on the day before. So the first candles were lit last night. I think that if we reduce Thanksgiving and holiday and Hanukkah as holidays to their essence, it's again one of simple gratitude, and that's one that often does get lost as we get caught up in this incredibly overwhelming commercialism of Thanksgiving in particular. Hanukkah doesn't have the same level of commercialism, but it seems to have gotten without. You know, getting on too much of a soapbox here. It seems to have gotten worse than ever this year, partly because the holiday is late, so the advertising and the constancy of the commercialism of Thanksgiving and the holiday season, and I don't even want to mention what day they call tomorrow because I hate the sound of it, but all of this has really, I think, in some ways tempered what the holiday means, and that's unfortunate because after all, we can certainly be grateful for a great many things in this country.
Thank you so much for being with us. You were with us on for some years as a tradition almost on holidays and Thanksgiving, and then another host stole you away from us. So I hope that you'll come back on the Joy Cardine Show in the future.
Well, Joy, it is always a joy for me, and we have been doing it for a long time, and I was stolen away by an afternoon host, but I'm very good in the mornings, too, so it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I'd love to come back for President's Day or any other time you'll have me. And for people who want a little bit more about Thanksgiving, my website, I don't sell anything there, is don'tknowmuch.com. You see a video about Thanksgiving and some other pieces about those first pilgrims that I mentioned. That's at don'tknowmuch.com.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Kenneth C. Davis, best known for his Don't Know Much About Books series. And we have provided a link to his website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Marika Saval and to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry. They produce these programs, and I do appreciate it. And thanks to Christy Taylor, who is in here early this morning on a holiday as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.